Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May the Lord bless his word to us. Take a few moments just to bow our heads in prayer. Let's be mindful of various needs and situations. We've had a prayer request from the Blakeleys as well, who are learning Hebrew so that they can get on with their translation work. And so they ask for help for that. So just do want to remember them in prayer, as well as other needs, of course, in the wider world at this time. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you know all about us, for you made us. You knit us together in our mother's womb. You know how we feel, the things that help us to focus, the things that we find difficult to focus on. And we just pray that you would just take what's in our hearts right now, the praise that we offer, of course, but also these petitions, Lord, different needs and concerns in the fellowship. We think of others too who are facing different sorts of treatments and going through uncertain times. Lord, be their rock, be their help, be their everything at this time. Strengthen them and be to them their healer as well, Lord, we pray. Think of those in need, Lord, of wisdom and even mental capacity. And we think of the Blakeleys. We thank you for the way that they've been connected with us for so long and served you so well in so many different situations. And you know their need now. And so I just pray that you would provide for them and help them and give them understanding, perhaps even beyond their natural capacity, so that the work can go from strength to strength. Hear us, Lord, we pray, as we think of our wider world and its troubles, so much of it because of rejection of you, going a different course. Lord, have mercy. Lord, point people again, through us, your church, to your Son, the Saviour of the world. May the Lord, people find that answer. Looking for peace, may they find the lasting, eternal peace that your Son gives to us. Oh Lord, we ask for neighbours in need, a community lost around us, Lord, that there would be a turning to you, that, Lord, we would see people seeking after you, that there would be a new spiritual hunger in the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls. We cry to you, Lord, we know it's been a difficult time, not just for us as a nation, but, Lord, all the nations of the world. And we pray that, Lord, again, out of this, people would not, Lord, think they've got the answers in themselves, for, Lord, that is folly and complete foolishness, but would seek you, Lord, to know your way in all of this. So help us, Lord, we pray. Have mercy upon us. We pray for those who lead us or in power over us. Pray for wisdom for them. And Lord, we just ask that you would have the glory and praise from our gathering together this morning, but more than that, from our daily lives. In the places we go, the people we see, may we shine for you. May your word and your truth be proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, how did we do? Would you like to review your visit? Have you ever seen something like that? An email come through
I got one of those the other day. We dropped our car off for some repairs it's having. And literally, we'd only just dropped it off. And I got this, "How did we do? Review your visit." Well, I have to say, the man took our keys very well. But basically, time will tell how they do when I get it back, when I see what they've done. Time will tell. I've mentioned before that there's a plethora, I think is the word, of TV house building programs on. You may have noticed some of these. Looking rather blankly, okay. Homes Under the Hammer, DIY SOS, and other such programs where they start with a house that's really falling down, rack and ruin, and they commit themselves to a project, working everything out, and you get that big reveal at the end. Wow. Sometimes on these programs, I think on Grand Designs particularly, it can take years, and you really wonder whether the couple are together still, whether they've run out of money, usually, kind of mortgaged up to the hilts, but there it is, finally in the end. I think I've only ever seen, I think, one episode where it wasn't quite finished, even at the end of all the filming that they'd done. They begin, but will they be able to finish? And of course, what will the finish be like? In Luke chapter 14, Jesus talks and gives a couple of illustrations about discipleship and following him. He talks about building a tower, and he talks about how you might put the foundation in, but if you can't finish it, you're going to look foolish. You've got to work out before you start, have I got the resources to see this through? And he talks about battles as well, going into battle or making peace with your enemy. If you see that your enemy's twice as strong as you are, you know, you're foolish just to struggle on. You have to weigh things up. And in the battles that we go through to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ today, we have to weigh these things up ourselves. You know, what price are we willing to pay when it comes to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't want to be mastermind. We do want to be mastermind Christians. I've started, so I'll finish. You know, the bit they always say at the end of the quiz round. We don't want to say, I've started, but I can't finish. We want to see it through. And I want to look at how the Lord promises to help us through. From Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, that will be our text this morning. But before I get there, I just want to say what a wonderful church the Philippian church was. Compared to some of the others, this was the place to be. I reckon people queued up around the block to get in this place, because there was a concern and a love for one another. And there was a commitment to each other and to the work of the gospel. And that's a challenge for us. You know, we got too many empty seats here. We want to be reaching out with the gospel. We want to be that sort of church that's known for our love and our care and support for one another. The Philippians. It speaks of their partnership, their fellowship in the gospel with the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul went around from place to place. From time to time, he would stay a while. But he was an itinerant, in that sense, preacher. But with the Philippians, there was a special bond. He talks about the grace that they share together. And you and I share that, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ means everything to us. If it wasn't for what he'd done for you and for me, well, where would we be? To have to share that one with another and live our lives for him is what it's all about. And Paul speaks about his prayers for the Philippians. And he prays with thanks and with joy. Not with concern, not with despair, not with, heartache and pain. That was probably the Corinthian church. The Philippian church, no. With thanks and with joy. To see it actually being lived out and worked out amongst them. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16, it talks about how the Philippians have given. They put their hands in their pockets and given to support the work in the churches that Paul is about. Now that's commitment, isn't it? Commitment to a cause if your pockets are involved in it. So everything seems just so wonderful, so fine here. They're involved in outreach. And it's not just the deacons and the overseers of the church. It's everybody that's involved in this. Paul goes to mention to them, he says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, together with the overseers and deacons. So we're all sharing the grace of God. We've all appreciated and loved the Lord. We've got the good news of the gospel, and we all want neighbours, friends, community to know of his wonderful love for them. Working together, whether in an official position, an overseer, a deacon, or just in the general belief, as a general believer, if that's a real phrase, because he says to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Well, that's the church he's writing to. That's the backdrop to it all. And you get to chapter 1 and verse 6, and I have mentioned this before. This is not a repeat sermon, although it may, of course, will link in with other things I've said in the past. Chapter 1 and verse 6 is one of my favourite verses. Always has been, and sometimes it is very, very precious to me. It's always precious. And it says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So focusing on God, not ourselves, God first. Think about the good work of God, just for a moment. You know, there are degrees of goodness. You can go, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. You know, there are different sizes and scales of goodness. But faced with the Grand Canyon, or faced with the Alps, the Himalayas, faced with even a beautiful walk down to the reservoir down the road, that's good. You can see God in his wonderful creation. How good is the God we adore? You remember Jesus said on one occasion when people were talking about what's good, only God is good. Everything else is not perfect, but God is perfect in all his ways. His goodness is seen in creation. What a work of creation. I know we would prefer to see blue sky rather than grey skies. Don't care particularly for thunder and lightning and heavy rain, but it's all part of his creation. And there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. In the stages of creation, everything was good, but when it all came together, and you and I, mankind, were put in charge of it, then it became very good in God's sight. That's what it was all about. God's creation is phenomenal. The variety in his creation is astounding, isn't it? Just look at a leaf. Just look at a petal. Just look at a little bug even. Just look at the small things as well as the big things. And just marvel at how different things are, how wonderful. Now, of course, we have to live with the spoiling effect of sin on what God saw was very good. You know, you can call it global warming, but it's more than that, isn't it? It's other things as well. We have not used and cared for what God has given us the way we should. But God's goodness, yes, is seen in creation. But of course, as we worship this morning, because of the Lord Jesus, we see it in salvation. We see God's goodness personified in Jesus, who went about doing good. At every turn, he did good, transforming people's lives from sin's results on their bodies, minds, and souls. We go from the creation to salvation and see what a Saviour is ours. You know this verse well, but Jesus said of himself, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He didn't just come to just lead us, but he came to lay down his life, to die, to save us. What a Saviour, what a wonderful Saviour we have. Through his sacrifice, we as followers are led together as his flock. That's what we are as church. And he leads us by his word and his spirit. And that's what brought me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Because it speaks there to believers about the work that he began in you. If you are a believer this morning, when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus, a work began within you. A transforming, changing work. You know, you didn't get out of bed the next morning perfect. Okay, but you perhaps became a little bit more aware of sin and not doing this and perhaps doing this more and seeking the Lord like you'd never sought him before. Your life begins to change. A work begins to take place. A work by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. The work of the Spirit in the believer continues to display God's love, power, and even his creativity in each one of us. Said it before, I'll say it again, this is not a sausage factory, this is a church. We are not all supposed to go out the door exactly the same, looking the same, saying the same. We are individual, yet we are together. God is making all believers Christ-like, though we are all so different. There used to be, I'm sure they still sell them, t-shirts that said, "Be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet." Well, that's the reality, of course, but it shouldn't be an excuse for remaining unchanged. You may have the t-shirt, but maybe, you know, we would need to say, "But God is changing me," so the finished work will come. It's a good work that God has begun. And remember this, God always completes what he starts. Because there in Philippians 1 verse 6, that good work he will bring to completion. I read a story in the week about a man called Andrew Carnegie. I knew of Carnegie Hall in the States, and the Carnegie family were absolutely loaded. They got in there on the beginning of steel work in America. Just imagine how much steel there is in America. And the Carnegie family were all behind that. And Andrew Carnegie had a meeting one day with a socialist who came and said to him, "You should share out what you have," as socialists would believe. And he said, "It's not right." And indeed, it wasn't right. It was unjust what was happening. 4,000 times more Andrew Carnegie was getting in his wage packet than his steel workers. So there was a complete imbalance. It was wrong. But Carnegie said to this socialist, "Okay, how many people then are there in the world to share my wealth with?" And he got his secretary to work it out. And he said to the socialist, "Okay, give him his 16 cents and send him away." That was justice, but it wasn't justice, was it? That wasn't fair. That wasn't the way it should have been. Carnegie was trying to be smart, trying to be clever, using that to point out 16 cents for everybody on the planet if I share it all around. Yes, you can argue he was making work for, you know, wages for other people and all the rest of it. But justice, is it fair? Is it right? Do we really want justice from God? I hear people say, "Well, you know, there's no justice in the world. If there was, this would happen." But if there was justice in the world, none of us would be here. We'd all be completely lost, without hope, because of our sin, because of what we've done in rejecting God in our earlier years. If God was to really take us at our word, where would we be? Don't know about you, but I've got quite a few jobs at home that need to be finished. Things you begin with the best intentions. And we talk about loose ends, don't we? Oh, a few loose ends here to sort out, a few loose ends. Well, I came this morning to tell you that God has no loose ends. God has no loose ends. What he starts, he finishes. What he says, he does. He doesn't lie. God is a God of faithfulness, a God of justice. And so we often sing in that chorus, don't we? A God of faithfulness without injustice. But you say, "Well, what about this and what about that?" God's got the timing on these things. We might think, "Oh, well, this is unfair, this is unjust, something needs to be done now." But let's leave that with God for his perfect justice is the thing that makes him God. It makes him who he is. He will see the finished work. In Genesis chapter 2, in creation, he saw everything in its place. The work that he had done, it says, by the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So there's a good example for us. He starts something, he finishes it. And he took a day then to appreciate what he'd made. It's a good idea for Sunday, for you and for me, isn't it? To take the Lord's day and just appreciate, slow things down and just thank the Lord for all he's blessed us with. Again, you might be smart and you might be thinking ahead and thinking, oh, what about creation, evolution and all that? Isn't the thing still going on in the world around us? Things still changing and developing? Well, there is micro changes, of course, adapting to things in creation, but no macro changes, no cows changing into horses or no, you know, this isn't happening, for God made everything according to its kind. So in creation, everything is in its place, a finished work. In salvation, the price has been paid, everything has been done. For Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up his spirits. Again, just thinking of the subject of the justice of God. You look at Calvary and you think, oh, the injustice. How could they do this to the pure and perfect Son of God? But actually, God sent his Son to take our sin. It was part of his justice, involving the punishment of God's Son for the sin of the world, says Romans 3. So that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Guilty, vile and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Because lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. The finished work in creation, the finished work in salvation. But what about this sanctification, this ongoing work in you and me as believers? Well, yes, he will carry it on to completion. You have it there, a promise. What God has started in you and me, he will carry it on to completion. Now, before we think just a little bit more about that, I mean, what an amazing statement, what an amazing commitment to each one of us, to every believer there's ever been and will ever be, this promise holds true. That God will work in the ups and downs of our lives to make us more like Jesus. Working in us and through us and with us and for us. Committed to us completely. I've been reading a slightly different Bible reading plan. I'm a little bit out of sync with everybody who's doing it within the church. I'm reading from the beginning through to the end in chronological order, or as near as it can be. And I've been recently reading Isaiah 37. And in that, Sennacherib, the enemy of God's people, is taunting them. And Hezekiah, the king, a godly king, turns in prayer, cries out to the Lord. And God says this, makes a wonderful promise. Once more, a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. And then it goes on to say, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I was quite struck with that, because I've been, as I said, reading lots of heavy sort of prophecies of gloom and doom. And then within it, suddenly this beautiful expression, taking root below and bearing fruit above. I thought about Jesus being the vine, the true vine. And David's been explaining this well to us on Fridays at the Zoom meetings, for those who have been able to attend that. Roots and fruits, drawing from him,
so that we can be fruitful, that we can bear righteousness. Rooted and established in love, Paul talks to the Ephesians about. He talks of the fruit of the Spirit. All these things that we can be and that can be lived out in our lives are because we are rooted and grounded in Him, drawing upon Jesus. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We don't have to try and manufacture this ourselves. It's about abiding in Him, drawing upon Him, letting the Lord accomplish His work in us. Can you do impressions? Anybody? I'm not going to ask you to do one, don't worry. I know Rob does a good impression. His Basil Fawlty's legendary and one or two others. Can you do impressions? There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, that talks about being imitators of God. Literally, be a mimic of God. That's what Paul says. Do an impression of God every day. How? How can you show His attitude and character and power in the world? Well, surely only by relying on Him, depending on Him completely. Spending time with Him, watching over Him, drawing from Him, however you want to describe it. To be an imitator of God. The good work is a finished work when it's a work done by the Lord. It's so in our salvation, He makes the impossible possible. And it's so in the service that we offer as well. He enables us to be effective. Now, we are living in very much changing times. State the obvious. But we have an unchanging message. The gospel has not changed. The gospel that Paul speaks about to the Philippians is what we speak about today. Because it's there in the Word of God, and that's what we share each week, each day. The way of salvation remains unchanged. The world's got very sophisticated in many aspects of life. But the need for a new heart, a changed life, God's Spirit within. That's always the need of mankind from the beginning. The ways we serve our community, well, maybe that's going to change a little bit too. You know, we've seen churches going high tech on Zoom and all the rest of it, trying to reach people that way. But again, I think it really does boil down to us getting alongside our neighbours and friends. That's always been the way. But you might ask, I hope you're not asking this of the sermon, but will this work ever end? Where is this taking us? It began in creation. Thank God Jesus came, the salvation. But to what end? Where are we going with this? And I think this is a big problem for us as Christians, because we live in a world where people are so unsure about the future. They just would prefer to be going round and round in circles. But we know we're going to a finish line. We know there is an end. The day of Christ, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is said again and again in that passage in Philippians and other places too. So for a moment, let us just think of the rest and reward from the work. At the end of the day, if you've had one of those days, it's just, you know, it's early evening, what do you do? Like to put your feet up, cup of tea? At the end of the day. You see, the pattern we saw with creation and in salvation is also seen at the end of time as well. Now, you shouldn't be surprised about that, because God is an unchanging God. He does things a certain way, the perfect way. And in Revelation chapter 21, we see creation made new. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So we've got the creation at the beginning and a new creation at the end. And the very next verse goes from creation to salvation. Bear in mind, God's people had often lived in tents and had constantly been on the move and always unsettled, and always, even in the promised land, it had been a struggle.
I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. In other words, those who had believed, coming out of heaven from God. So we go from creation made new to salvation made eternal. And then that sanctification, that work going on in each of us, they were prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. A picture of perfect holiness. And so these three strands all come together. The work, the good work, the finished work comes to a place of rest and reward for that work. We call it heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but that's something to look forward to. Thank you for that. Yes, I heard it. To be made new when we're surrounded by death and decay and everything else. To have eternal life, to be, you know, to live with the Lord forever. To be made perfect without our imperfections, our, you know, to be all that we were meant to be and could be. To reach the fullness of everything that the Lord saw in us. This is how it will be. This is something to look forward to. So Paul encourages the church there at Philippi, and I seek to encourage you this morning in that partnership in the gospel to work hard together, because this is where we're heading to. And not just us, but we can take others with us along this path until the day of Christ Jesus. A day when the dwelling of God is with man. A day when every tear is wiped away. A day when there's no more death or pain. A day when the old has passed away and the new has come. And if those words sound familiar, Paul uses exactly the same phrase to talk about salvation. We've already got a foretaste of what it's going to be like when we get a new life from Jesus. But of course, we haven't got a new body yet. We're still longing, looking to that rest and that reward from the work. In our partnership with the Lord, He will carry it on to completion. Please hear that. But as I said at the beginning, with the little stories that Jesus told about building the tower, you know, are we committed to seeing it through as well? It's a partnership. You can't have a partnership with just one person. It's the two together. Now, I've not seen much of the Olympics, but I heard the name Anna Kiesenhofer. You probably don't know the name, but you certainly wouldn't have known it before the Olympics. She is Austrian, and she was the lady that for 147 kilometres in the cycling set off and just went for it. She went as fast as she could. And it got so confusing, because in cycling they normally all stick together, that the lady who came second, who was the European champion, at first thought she'd won because she couldn't see anybody ahead. I don't know if you saw it. Absolutely incredible. It just never happens. But somehow, Anna Kiesenhofer went like the wind, went like the clappers. And she won. She managed to do it. I'm using this as an illustration, not to say go like the clappers, but to tell you that you won't be able to go by the clappers on your own. Okay, you will not be able to do an Anna Kiesenhofer in the race of the Christian race of life. You will need to stay with everybody else. You will need to be encouraged along the path. To keep going, we need one another. But more than that, in Hebrews chapter 10, first of all, we need the Lord. Let us draw near and enter the most holy place. Come to the Lord in prayer. Seek Him. Then hold on to the hope. God is faithful to His promises. So come to Him. Receive His word. Take hold of it. This is all to keep going in the Christian race. Spur one another on in love and good deeds. Have fellowship. Encourage each other. Meet together. Encourage one another. We are like the peloton in the cycling. Just changing places, but keeping together, you know, so that we get through together. No riding off, no thinking you can do it on your own, because you can't. Keep your confidence in the Lord. Keep your partnership with Him and one another. And there in Hebrews 10 it says, as you see the day approaching. Again, it's talking about the day of Christ. The day when He comes again in His glory. Now, do you see that? The day of Christ. I don't know about you, but we're seeing a lot of the negative, aren't we? The darkness, the decay. But we do need to be ready. We need to remember that we are actually in a race that has a finish line. That we're not just going round and round in circles, you know, like your computer thing that just goes round and round when it's stuck. We're not stuck in a rut here going nowhere. We are heading for the finishing line of when Christ comes. When He comes with His rewards, it's not about that. It's just living our lives for His glory so that we can take as many people with us when He comes. Jesus shall take the highest honour. He shall have the rightful place. Then there will be justice when He is rightfully acknowledged and given the glory. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but until all of that creation recognises who He is and what He's done, we wait for that justice to be seen. We shall share His glory. Marvel at that. But we may have to share in His sufferings. Indeed, we do. And we'll have to share those sufferings, says Romans 8. But in conclusion, for my time has gone this morning, remember how we started. Focus on the work, the good work of God. You know, just remind yourself every day of the goodness of God, what He has done, yes, in creation, in the very bed you're lying in when you get up in the morning, but in salvation particularly, and also in sanctification. If you've had a bad day, you know, the next day is a new day. And, you know, the Lord continues to work with us, even if we have a bad day. And remember, this work is a finished work as far as God is concerned. If we're in Christ this morning, it's a finished work. And let us look forward, glimpse the glory of God, even through the darkness of these days. He has promised, and as I said before, He always delivers on what He promises. He always finishes what He starts. So let's spur one another on in our partnership together in the gospel. Amen. Let's just take a moment just to reflect just on those thoughts. Heavenly Father, many words, but I pray that You would just take what You want to put into each heart. Sow the seeds, Lord, that You want to see grow in our lives so that we will be fruitful. Fruitful as we reach out to others. Fruitful in our character so that we're more like You, Lord Jesus. Because Rochford and the surrounding area needs to see us more like Jesus. There is much darkness, but Lord Jesus, You are the light of the world, and You say we are light in the darkness too. So shine through us, Lord. Grow the seed of Your word in our hearts. And again, thank You that we are looking forward to the day, that coming day. And Lord, give us greater faith to hold on and indeed to press on into all that You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me close with a prayer, asking for God's blessing upon each of us as we go out from this place. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank You for the work that You have begun in those who stand with us here this morning. Thank You that You will work out Your purposes, even in the ups and downs of life this week. Work in us, Lord, work through us. Bring glory to Your name. May those we come into contact with see something of You in us. The way that we trust You, the way that we have faith, not fear. Bless, Lord, I pray, each one who stands before You. Meet each need, yes, but meet the greater need of our society and our world at large. as we are in partnership together in the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for all those who proclaim the gospel up and down this land and indeed across the nations of the world right now. Lord, use the words to save. Use the words to build up and encourage. And Lord, through it all, help us to keep looking to you till you come in your glory. What a day that will be. What a day. Things are good in creation, but Lord, how much better when sin is removed. Lord, things are being worked out in us, but how much better when we are completely the finished article, made perfect in Christ. Oh, bless you, Lord, for all that you have in store for us. Take us on our way with hope, fresh hope, looking to you. Work out your purposes and be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.